Hello and welcome to the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast. My name is Luke Burridge, and this is the show where I review every single science fiction book that I read as I read it. There's no set schedule, just whenever I finish a book, I do the review, stick it up here on the podcast feed. Although sometimes I don't get to the books right away. In fact, at the moment, I'm four books behind, four stories behind, or collections, or whatever they are behind. One of them I'm waiting for Juliana to finish up the book with so I can do a podcast with her. Another one I have scheduled with Jenny from the Reading Envy podcast. We'll get onto that later on this week. But for now, let's do a book. Actually, that I say, whenever I finish a book, I do the review. Sometimes I don't finish the book, and that's what I'm going to be reviewing today, a book that I didn't finish called Desolation Road by Ian MacDonald. And this came out back in, first published 1988, so it's not a new book at all. And this is another one of the books that on the Goodreads group, the SFBRP listener group, people are always mentioning, hey, I think you should read this book in the discussion thread, books I would like to see reviewed. And I always say, hey, if you recommend a book there and other people say, yes, I also think you should read this one, I will get round to it. Like, for example, The Star Fraction by Ken MacLeod. A few people have mentioned that, another Ken MacLeod books. And so I thought, well, I'll just think I've read it before, but I'll get onto that one. So that was one of these books. I went back through and found The Dying Earth and Desolation Road and quite a few other books. And I thought, I'll just get onto them. Desolation Road, though, it didn't really fit for me. And I'll go into that in a bit. This podcast episode probably won't be too long because, again, I didn't finish the book. I only got about 2 hours in to a 15 and a half hour long audiobook, which is not a very long audiobook, but it's quite long when you start off a book and I'm just like, this is not doing it for me. And then I think, well, how long have I been going? Oh, I've only been listening an hour. Well, even though it's not really doing it for me, I'll keep listening or I'll keep reading or whatever. You know, if you're a few chapters into the book, you're like, I'll just keep going for another few chapters and then see if it grabs me. And if anything's grabbed me by then, I'll push through even further. But in this case, even after like another six chapters, I mean, the chapters are quite short in this book, but so even after another few chapters, I was just thinking, this is not for me. And the reason is, well, first of all, I'll just say a bit about what it's about. I made some notes here. So there's a guy called Dr. Alimentando, and he is sailing across Mars. He's chasing something. I'm not entirely sure what he's chasing. And then he gets stranded. He loses his magnetic sail craft or whatever it is. And he's like, oh, okay, well, I found some water and it's beside a railway. I will stay here as I do something. And then the next chapter begins and some other guys, I think his name was Tatadamalian or something. And his, of course, this is as an audiobook, so I had to go through the other people's reviews and things to see if I can find some characters' names. So I think it was Persis Tatadamalian. And he was a guy who was like, who scammed some people, but then was going away. But then he had lots of other people in his head, like his ancestors or previous owners of the business or whatever it was. And that was, oh, this is actually really interesting. I really like this. And then he managed to end up at the same place as Dr. Alimentando was. And I was like, okay, so we already know that's the town called Desolation Road, or it's going to be called Desolation Road, but there's only one person living there, so it's not really a town. It's not even a village yet. And then some other people are like, oh, and now we are going, and the train stops, and they get off the train at the place where they weren't meant to have stopped, but here they are, and they're in Desolation Road. I was like, okay. And then some other people were traveling along, and they were like, okay, well, we ended up here as well. I was like, okay, somebody else has ended up there in Desolation Road. And then someone's flying past, and their plane crashed, or they had to, you know, ran out of fuel or something, and they crashed there, and then they stayed there, and they're, oh, okay. So they also live in Desolation Road. And then there's some set of triplets, and they go by, and they come here, and they find it, and they find themselves there, and it's like, oh, and they are also now living in Desolation Road. So what we have is just like lots and lots of, I would, in a way, they would be like short stories, but they're not short stories because they never really felt like they began. They always began like not at the start of the stories. And if they did start at the stories, like, well, this character grew up like this, or this character found themselves in this situation, and they went there, and then they got to Desolation Road. So it was kind of unsatisfying because I realized that everybody's story, or everything that happened with something outside of Desolation Road was going to arrive there. And I know that's not what it would be all the way throughout the book. But I thought, okay, well, I'll push past these parts of the book where we're just getting our characters into place. I thought, well, I mean, if the characters were interesting, one of the characters I found interesting, but none of the others I did, you know. Or they felt like they could be interesting, but as soon as they got there, they kind of all just stopped and settled in this place. They all got to Desolation Road and was like, and now I'm here, and now I will stop and hang out and be a community member. And I'm like, that's okay, but that's not really, it doesn't really feel like anything is pushing forward in the story or happening in any way. And again, this is not always a criticism, but it didn't really feel like anything was happening except they're in a desert and there's some water, and it wasn't, you know, there wasn't anything happening that was kept. And I thought, okay, well, something has to happen now in the community. And the first big thing that happens, the first dramatic moment, is that two old people get married. And I would say it was interesting that they fell in love and then they got married, but it wasn't even that. It was just sort of like, and then this old person said to this old person, "Will you marry me?" "Yes, I will." And then there was a wedding, and the people came to the wedding, and she invited her son, even though she'd fallen out with her son. And then these people had sex, and then those people met up and moved in together. And those, and so it's just like moving community members around. And unfortunately, none of that is actually interesting on a character level or on a story level. It's just there wasn't anything there, which is a real pity, because I was really enjoying the writing. The writing style is actually really fun. There's lots and lots of really good passages, like passages in the book, like maybe a sentence here or a small description there or a fun metaphor or a simile or whatever you want to call it, like, or a section here, and it describes, oh, this is what this person is like, this is what this situation is like. And all of those bits of descriptions were really good, really interesting. However, they were describing things and people which weren't, I know it's not that I always want stuff to happen and stuff to be happening, but if something isn't happening, it has to be happening in a situation which I find interesting. For example, there's this book called, the book was called Earth Abides by George R. Stewart. And one thing I really loved about that was that it was set after an apocalypse, or not an apocalypse, it's like post-apocalyptic, everyone has died after a big plague. And then it's pretty much just sort of like a guy hanging around and not doing very much, and the community builds and then people arrive and do stuff. But there was something about that book which it was like, yes, it started off and there was some kind of drama to the situation. Like, he was left there by himself and he had to build a community around himself. And it was set over many, many years, like years would go by and this would happen, and then someone would move in, and then this person would be born, and then this person would have sex with that person, and this people, and then they'd go on an adventure. And I kind of felt like this book would be the same thing. But in Earth Abides, it starts off where, like, the whole planet dies, and then this guy has to kind of make it by himself. And in Desolation Road, all it felt like was that, oh, people were just kind of randomly turning up in the same place, and yeah. And I think there's just like a different level of drama that comes with everyone on the world in the earth has died except these few people, and now they have to get together and they're fighting for their lives against the world. And in Desolation Road, it's like all these people get together because, and they're sticking together because, and in this book, we think they're going to, and they're going to have a big impact in the world because, like that. And after 2 hours of a book, I kind of an audio book, of a 2 hours of a 16-hour audio book, I kind of feel like there has to be something else there for me. But yeah, I made a note of this, some things on my phone as I was listening to it. There was this great bit of description about these children, these twins. And it says, the twins were at the age of constantly falling forwards, or continually falling forwards. And I thought that was really nice. And there was another review that I just read by, was it Joe Walton's review on tour.com. She says, the triplets were, this is one of her metaphors, or the, some of the best similes ever. She says, the triplets were alike as peas in a pod, or days in a prison. And I remember that line. I was like, yes, that is really great. I really like the idea of triplets alike as days in a prison. And so yeah, it's like I say, it's a real pity that the book and the story and the characters weren't doing anything for me, because the writing was so beautiful and the imagery was really evocative and the writing was beautiful. But then I was like, but there was this guy with everyone else in his head and he arrives and his story was really interesting, but it was so short. And it didn't feel like, oh, this is what I was saying before. These stories of everyone arriving didn't feel like short stories, like in a short story collection, or I just read Dying Earth, which I'll be reviewing in an episode this week or next week. And in there, it's sort of like lots of short stories set in the same world and some characters overlap and things. But of all of the stories felt like there was a beginning and a middle and an end. And they set this way and they got that place and they did it. Or they were thinking about this and then they found a solution in this way and it impacted their life in this way or something. And so it felt like a lot like vignettes, which really brought back to me what the first thing I thought of when I saw the title of Desolation Road. I was like, oh, Desolation Road, that must be a reference to a Bob Dylan song called Desolation Road, until I searched for it. And it turns out it's Desolation Row is the Bob Dylan song. And even so I looked on this one. I listened to it again. It's okay. It's a bit long. But it says here on the Wikipedia page, it says he combines the characters from history, fiction, the Bible, and his own invention into a series of vignettes that suggest entropy and urban chaos. And I was like, yeah, that's what this book is. It's not. It didn't feel like the start of a novel, and it didn't feel like a short story collection. It felt like a series of vignettes, but that aren't suggesting entropy and urban chaos. It's actually suggesting like non-entropy and non-chaos. In other words, like it's people coming together and the building up of a town rather than the destruction of the town and the things that coming, yeah, like the non-entropy, it's sort of like, yes, in chaos, finding order rather than order devolving into chaos. So I think the Desolation Road is, even the way that they name the town, it's sort of like, yes, it's called Desolation Road. And it's like, oh, it was meant to be called Destination Road. And even the idea that someone would think, oh, I'm going to call this place Destination Road doesn't make sense. So it's sort of like a play on words in the book, where actually the described play on words in the book doesn't make sense. It's actually much more likely to be a reference to Desolation Row rather than Destination Road. Which is quite funny. I mean, there's a big history of that in fiction, saying, oh, and this term was actually a play on words on this. It happens all the time in the Bible. And Moses means brought out by his heel. And it's like, no, Moses, the word name Moses doesn't mean brought out by his heel. It was just a royal Egyptian name, Moses, like Ramesses. And, you know, Ramesses, Moses, you know, that's where it comes from. It's not the Hebrew word for being taken out by his heel. No, taken out of the river. Someone else was taken out by the heel. Was that Jacob, Esau? One of those was taken out by his heel. So it's sort of like the fake source of the names is interesting. There's a long history of that in literature. So yeah, you have all these vignettes together, and which for me didn't really feel satisfying. Oh, here's a note that I made as well. It feels very much like a Wes Anderson movie, because in a Wes Anderson movie, often I've seen his movies. I mean, about half of them I really, really love, and half of them I get like halfway through going, oh, this is amazing, and then by the end I'm like, that was really annoying. Like, there's a quirkiness to it, you know. I love the sets in his movies, I love the designs and the camera work and everything, like, and the style is amazing, and like individual parts of the scripts, the dialogue can be interesting, individual scenes between characters can be really interesting, but then there's just a lot of his movies, or half of his movies that I've seen, like the story just doesn't go anywhere in a way that I find interesting, and the characters aren't interesting enough. They're quirky and they have funny names, but they're not enough to like string along a whole movie, say with the Royal Tenenbaums, and what was the other one that I saw, which I had almost exactly the same feeling about. I think it was the movie with the train, the Darjeeling Limited. I was thinking Something Express. No, the Darjeeling Limited. And but then I saw Moonrise Kingdom, and I was like, no, all the way through to the end of that. It got to that halfway point. I was thinking, is this just going to be stylish and quirky, or am I going to stay with these characters to the end, and something's going to happen that's going to make me go yes all the way through to the end? And I was like, yes, and it was a fantastic movie. And then the Grand Budapest Hotel, I was watching it, and it got halfway through. I was like, is this going to be quirky, and the characters are just going to be annoying, and the stuff at the end is going to be rubbish? And it's like, no, it was actually really good all the way through to the end. I was like, yes, fantastic. And I don't mind that, because those movies are like an hour and a half or 2 hours long, and you're like, okay, an hour and a half, 2 hour long movie. By the end of it, you go, that is a good unit of entertainment in an evening. Whereas with an audiobook, I'm like, I'm 2.5 hours into this. Do I need to get all the way through to two-thirds of the way through, like, listen to this book for like 10 hours before I know if it's going to be good at the end and interesting stuff's going to happen at the end or not, and is it worth it? So what I did, I thought I'm not going to worry about spoilers, because it didn't really feel like anything was going to happen in this book which was like spoiler worthy, because it was a lot more character studies, like stuff's going to happen in this town, okay, stuff's going to happen. And so I had a look, and lots of people were like, oh, this is really great, and all of the plot summaries were just talking about, this is what happened at the start, and then here we go. So, like, this person does this, and then here we go. And I'm like, okay. So all the characters together, does anything happen? And I did actually find some reviews which said, really, it's like that kind of stuff. And then some of them go out in the world and have an impact on the greater world and then come back, and it gets... So I realized, actually, I don't think this is going to be the book for me, which is a pity, because, like I say, the writing is really good. And And the description's really good, but it didn't have anything. I think I've said that enough. What else did I make notes of here as well? Ah, yes. So the narration made it sound very much like a children's book, because there's just like a tone.
Display screen. What does that say?
Rotec, said Limahl, in whom the seeds of rationalism were germinating.
Yeah, so what it was one of these weird things where I'm just going, oh, okay, it sounds like someone is reading a children's book. And this is coming back to the Wes Anderson thing. It's sort of like it's that like quirky style. I mean, it's not children, like he doesn't make children's movies, but often there'll be like a narration. And the narration, meanwhile, or maybe he doesn't do the narration, he has like these title cards come up, but it feels very much like a narration to a children's story. Meanwhile, over here, let me introduce you to this character. This character used to be like this, and you have these little flashbacks to bits and pieces. Now, let me sit you down and tell you a story. And that's what the narration by, let me have a look, his name is David Thorpe. It's a very good narration, but it really brings out like this kind of childlike feeling to it. It's not a bad thing, it's just it was like a distancing thing for me. And also the silly names like Dr. Alimentando and Persis Tetradamalion, you know, the names are fun sounding, but it's sort of one of those things where when the names become so fun, or so funny, or so like broad references or specific references, like one person is called Joe Starlin, and I'm like, okay, we're gonna have a character called Joe Starlin, fair enough. I don't mind a character called Joe Starlin, a bit hero protagonist kind of thing, but okay, let's do it. So narration good, but again, it didn't work for me. And finally, what people said is that this is what happens on the Goodreads group. When I mentioned this I mentioned this book on the Goodreads group, or the SFBRP listeners Goodreads group. I said, I tried this, I'm a few hours in, and it's just not the book from you. I may do a very short episode about it, but I'm not sure. Tamahomi said, because Tamahomi needs to be mentioned on every podcast episode, I've heard it's like magic realism. You could do a magically realistic episode. I'm not quite sure what that means, but I replied, I didn't stick with it long enough to get to any magic realism or anything interesting at all, to be honest. And so I thought, well, I'll look at some of these other reviews. What do other people say about the magic realism? And that's what that's why I left open this tab with Jo Walton, talking at Tor.com. She says, it's a magic realist science fiction novel. Everything in it makes literal science fictional and technological sense, but everything feels like magical realism and makes sense on an emotional and mystical level. And I understand that. But for me, it was only when it was actually mentioned what was going on did I think, this is what people find special about this book or interesting about this book in a magical realism way, that it isn't magical realism. It's like science fictional realism. It's like people living in the world. It feels like magic, but it's technology and everything has a technological basis. And and that's fine. But I think maybe coming off of my recent reading, for example, reading Jack Vance and The Dying Earth, that's very much like that. I mean, it's not magical realism, it's fantasy, but the idea of it's fantasy that you're never quite sure if everything that's happening is magic or if it's technology. And I guess it's also referencing like Gene Wolfe as well with The Dying Sun, not The Dying Sun, The New Sun, not Dying Earth, Book of the New Sun, where there's lots of stuff happening. They're living way in the future. It's a future Earth rather than a future Mars in that book, but they're living in the future and a lot of the stuff is happening. You're like, okay, there's spaceships and there's references, but obviously it's tying back to our history now. It's tying back to, you know, human, our, like the real past, real technological past and real history. And I'm thinking, okay, well, that's what's going on there as well. We're never quite sure if something is magic. It's written about as though it's magic, but actually for the people living it, it might feel like magic. But for us, we have to realize that this is science fiction. And it's those questions that go backwards and forwards. However, in The Dying Earth and the Book of the New Sun, that seems to be interesting because a lot of the stuff you're like, did that happen? Like, was that magic? What actually happened there? Would that, like, and you start thinking, well, what the technological thing be about that, or what would the technological explanation be about that? Whereas in those books I always think, oh, okay, well, that is a bit weird because it does still now feel a bit magical in a way. Whereas Desolation Road, everything that happened, I didn't even realize that that's what was going on. I thought the way it was written was just in a kind of Maybe that's why I felt it was a bit too plain, because I was just like, well, these people are just living in the future and stuff is happening. And I never really connected to the idea that that was meant to feel magical in any way. I was just like, well, that's just what it's like living in life. That stuff happens. And so maybe I didn't get to the real magical, realistic bits, but even the things that I read in other people's reviews, they were talking about, oh, and this person does this, and that person is doing this, and this person is doing that, and it feels like magic. I was like, but I just read those passages, and it just felt like normal science fiction kind of stuff, like steampunk, slightly steampunky. I mean, there's a railway, and there's engineering and things like that. And then there's kind of references to maybe there's aliens because they're living in this kind of abandoned thing. And I was like, well, if it's abandoned, like what was being built there? Like if this is all Wild West, like who are the progenitors in this area? Something, or maybe some aliens in the future. I'm not sure. And of course, looking at some reviews, it's like, there's even some little green men. And I was like, yeah, well, that's not going to be that surprising. And they're talking about this and that. So, so that was one of those weird things. What else have I got in my notes here as well? Oh, yeah. And the other thing about it is that this book, did I mention this before? It's set on Mars. Again, it's not obvious that it's set on Mars, but like the idea of a book being set on Mars and then you're not told that it's actually being set on Mars, and you just have to work it out from the clues of it being set on Mars. This book might be the first example of that. Maybe. I'm not sure. I can't think of other examples. But even then, you're thinking like, well, the Book of the New Sun, is that set on Earth? And you're going, okay, where is it actually set? You're like, oh, maybe it's somewhere in South America, or the polarity of the world is reversed, so it's actually in North America, but what they think is North is now South, or something. You know, there's all these different explanations, but it's still called Earth, even though it's spelt differently. Whereas I think the planet in this book is called Ares or something, but it's Mars, but it's never referred to as Mars. What was I saying? Oh, yeah, that might be the first time, but I recently read, it was a few years ago, I read Terminal World by Alistair Reynolds, and it's kind of the same premise. It's like, okay, this is set on far future steampunk Mars with lots of weird technology, and that's almost like in the opening chapter, it's like an angel fell from heaven. You're like, oh, and angels exist in this book, and you're like, oh, it's like a technological nanobot controlled human biology changing thing that makes someone look like an angel. Oh, and there's these other things, but that's all like steampunky magical realism, kind of magical realism stuff as well, even though that turns into much more hard science fiction by the end of it. So yeah, after reading Terminal World, I was like, well, I read Terminal World, and that had like, you know, airship battles and chases and angels dropping in from the sky, and that's the kind of thing that happens at the start of the book, where even though that did slow down in the middle a bit, I was still like, there's no way I'm not going to continue with this book, because this is actually really interesting. To Desolation Road, not quite so much. So in the end, for me, there was this mismatch of the language and the style, which I really enjoyed, and the content and the characters, which I didn't. And then the premise of it, the magical realism premise of it, didn't do it for me either. Maybe because I'd literally just finished reading the day before The Dying Earth, which is a lot more explicit in that idea. And the other idea of it being set on Mars but never mentioning Mars has been played out. And then what do we have? All I'm left with is sort of like a kind of we're pushing out into the frontier. It's kind of like the Wild West, but there's no Indians really, or maybe there's going to be some aliens, but really it's not like the Wild West where we kill all the people out here, all the Indians, and push them off the lands, and then it's now we're going to set up a town, and then it's like Tombstone. But it was all so nice. It was like, oh, this is going to be Wild West with all really nice people not shooting at each other, and no Indians swooping down in and scalping people. And it's like all of the Wild West tropes and the frontier town tropes, which would have been normally been there, like when the railway goes through, like, we're setting up a new town by the railway, okay, let's do this. It wasn't Tombstone, it wasn't Deadwood, it wasn't all of these other places. It was just really, you know, ah, and now you'll move in with that person. Oh, we'll find you a nice place. Oh, we're looking for someone. You should learn how to breed cows. It's like, really? That's what we're going to do? We're all going to get the characters together, and old people are going to get married, and the other people are going to breed cows? I'm like, okay. Didn't catch me out. So, devoid of any interest, however, a lot of good stuff. But because I only got a little bit into it, there's no way I'm going to give you this book a rating. It was fun to talk about it, I think, but it just wasn't the book for me. And I don't think anyone's going to convince me to read it, continue reading through, even though Joel Walton did have a passage of this book read out on her wedding. It's actually quite interesting that this, it says here, we joked that we must have sold 70 copies just by choosing the passage where it rains on the Viking lander for the first time. I was like, oh, that sounds quite interesting. But raining on the Viking lander, again, that whole idea that I'm sure in this book it's kind of described in a way that we don't know that that's the Viking lander, but it's going to be there. But whereas in Terminal World, they was talking about, oh, yeah, and these two things fell from the sky, and these two brothers, one was called Spirit and one was called Opportunity, and they went around Mars and explored, and this is where one of them came to rest, and this is where the other one... And, of course, it's not explained that they're the Spirit and Opportunity Mars rovers, but that's what you get in that kind of very poetic, like, hidden back in the history, right back at the start, and things like... It feels like very much the same kind of thing. So maybe I'll see if I can find the passage of rain landing on the Viking lander the first time that Jo Walton had read out her wedding. Yeah, maybe that part would be good. So, no stars, but that doesn't mean zero stars. That just means no star rating at all. You can, what else was I going to say? Yeah, on Goodreads, what do friends think of it? Yes, 4.29 average among science fiction book review podcast listener, or my friends on Goodreads, and 3.84 average. So this obviously appeals to a lot of people. Amanda rated it 5 stars. Simon Hedge, 4 stars. Isabel rated it 5 stars. Alan, 5 stars. Victoria, 4 stars. Nobody rated it under 3 stars. Anton rated it 3 stars. Nobody else rated it under 3 stars. But yeah, it's obviously got a lot of good stuff. So I'd recommend this book if you like the Wes Anderson movies with annoying endings. If you're into those where people just kind of noodle around and then kind of find themselves at the end, great. This might be the book for you. It's not quite the book for me. Do read Terminal World though. And The Dying Earth and The Book of the New Sun. Those are all, I find, more interesting takes on this. Of course, other people say, like, I read some other reviews and they were saying, oh, it's very much like this book and very much like that book and it's very well influenced by this book, but those are books I hadn't read. So I will talk about books that this one might have influenced. I don't know, I got influence from and might have influenced. So, yes, I will now do my Audible sponsorship ad. So you can get an Audible trial. I listen to lots and lots of audiobooks. I have just downloaded, what's it called? Ken MacLeod, The Star Fraction, and also The Dying Earth was really, really good, narrated by Arthur Morley. I really enjoyed this. Ah, my phone is making noise. Let's turn this down or off or something. So yeah, what you should do is go to audibletrial.com/SFBRP and you can download this audiobook, Desolation Road, 16 hours, read by, read by Stephen Crossley. No, read by David Thorpe. And yes, it's an interesting book. I think you should check it out. And those other books, Terminal World, also very good, by Alistair Reynolds, another book set on Mars, which is never mentioned on Mars. Really? Do you think this is Mars or not? Oh, yeah, it was another thing that they both did. They was both give the age of characters, and you're like, wow, that person's really, really young. Oh, aren't they a bit young for that? They're 10 years old. Oh, they're not 10 years old. They're 20 years old. Oh, yeah, because Mars years are twice as long, so that's one of those things that's done in both of those books too. Anyway, so I think you should do it. You sign up for a plan, you give a few dollars a month, I think it's like $10 a month, and you get one audiobook credit every month. I don't do that. I have the platinum plan, so I give whatever much more, and get two books, audiobooks each month, and I always have like one or two credits left, but it's a really, really great way of checking out books that you would never normally do. Also, it's a great way to read books that you've read before, but you don't want to put the time into actually like sitting down at night and reading them. You can kind of like go, oh, well, I will just experience this book again, have someone else read it to me and get something different from the book, because they'll have different voices and put different inflections and bring different things out of the story, and I'll notice different things in the story. So that's what I really love about audiobooks as well, is revisiting books that I've read before. So go on, check it out, audibletrial.com/SFBIP, and help support me and the podcast and my own book buying and other things too. So check that out. So that's it for me. Email me, luke@juggler.net. Become my friend on goodreads.com. Suggest books that you want me to read in the SFBRP listener group thread, books I would like to see reviewed. Although it's weird to see reviewed, it's like hear reviewed, books I would like to hear reviewed. I maybe change that title. Follow me on Twitter. I'm @LukeBurridge on Twitter. That's it for now. Thanks a lot for listening, and I'll catch you next time.